And hi there, I'm Mary Lynn with you weekdays noon to 3.
Good afternoon, Diane Ducey here.
And it is 12:05. We're going to connect about this to kick off the show. I don't know if you heard about this, but it freaked me out that the U.S. government is warning domestic and international airlines that some terrorists are considering surgically implanting explosives into humans to carry out attacks. It seems they'll stop at nothing. So on the phone with us is Lieutenant Jeff Atticott. He is a former Green Beret, an active duty Army officer, and director for the Center for Terrorism Law at St. Mary's. Lieutenant, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Okay, so this is pretty scary when we hear that the terrorists are thinking about surgically embedding bombs into people's bodies. What is going on?
Yeah, this is a this is something that the radical Islamic extremists have been toying with for quite some time. As you know, they've tried different tactics over the years, and their favorite target, of course, is airlines. They have, in 2006, they wanted to use liquid explosives, some of it concealed in baby bottles, to blow up 10 airline carriers that were coming from Europe to the United States. Mm-hmm. They've used underwear, as we saw with the underwear bomber a year and a half ago over Detroit. They've used shoes. So this is nothing new, but apparently the chatter is to the degree that the Department of Homeland Security is alerting the public. Now, we don't have the color-coded system anymore, but if they feel that the threat is serious enough, they will alert the public that these are things that they're looking at. And, you know, one of the things they've conceived is using breast implants in women. And how do you know if it's saline solution or if it's a solution that's associated with a liquid bomb? None of our detection devices can tell the difference. So we have literally hundreds of thousands of these in this country and across the world. Nobody knows the number, and they're simply undetectable, so they realize that this is a good way to get this type of bomb-making materials on an aircraft.
And something that you said there, Lieutenant, is that it's undetectable. So is there anything that we can do? I mean, you know, all of the measures that the TSA has taken up to this point, I mean, that's all just a mute point at this time?
Well, the technology is only so good, and there are numerous ways you can get explosive devices on an airplane to make, you can mold things to look like ordinary items made from plastic explosives. You can use liquid devices, so there's many ways to defeat the technology. And quite realistically, if you're trying to stop the jihadists at the airport, you're too late. You need to stop them before they get to the airport. That means our resources are best spent, in my opinion, in anti-terrorism methodologies, giving our law enforcement and intelligence officials better tools to find out who they are, what they're planning, where they're planning it, and to move in and stop them before they get to the airport, the bus station, or wherever they're intending to go.
A TSA spokesperson has said that you know, some of their measures may include more interaction with passengers. Would that mean does that mean talking with people more? What do you think that means?
Yeah, that's what they're exactly talking about. Is that they will, if they have someone that they suspect is a carrier or doing untoward things, they'll pull them off to the side, and they'll dialogue with them to see if the individual starts to sweat or has any body movements or fidgeting or that would give them other suspicions. So they're going to try to get them, obviously, to talk about what they're doing, and if they make any sudden or furtive moves, that they will take the next step. But, yeah, it's face-to-face conversations, looking them in the eye, and then if you have that old-fashioned Sherlock Holmes tingle, if you're a law enforcement official, then you say to yourself, wow, this person needs to have two or three of us take them into a room and talk to them more carefully to see if we can find out exactly what's going on. So, yeah, it's the old face-to-face approach.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Lieutenant Jeff Atticott. He's a former Green Beret, active duty Army officer and director for the Center of Terrorism Law. You know, it seems like here in this country, you know, people get accused of racial profiling when it comes to security measures. Is that, are we, you know, how are we going to be able to get past that?
Well, the term racial profiling is a very charged word, And it really is almost meaningless because it can mean anything. It depends on who's making the accusation. What we're really talking about is profiling behavior. Race can certainly be one of the factors in your profiling technique, but it cannot be the sole factor. For example, if you're looking for a white supremacist, then you're not going to stop an African-American as they, you know, walk mm-hmm. through a particular area. So there's some common sense involved in the process, but that's not the only factor. Racial profiling only becomes illegal, if you will, in this country when it's the sole factor. So you'd look at whether someone's wearing a heavy overcoat on a July day. You would look, obviously, at certain countries where we know that jihadists are more likely to come from these countries mm-hmm. than other countries. That's certainly legitimate. So we need to shake this political correctness that all profiling is racial profiling. No, it's not. In fact, we do a lot of profiling that is perfectly lawful in terms of drug dealers, in terms of criminal activity, and we certainly need to do it in terms of jihadist and terrorism.
Mm-hmm. You know, because, I mean, obviously it's mostly going to be people coming over to the United States, but then, you know, once folks are over in the United States, the embedding of explosives, would that happen in another country, or would they come, would they end up in the United States and then they get it embedded here? I don't know if you have access to that kind of intelligence.
Exactly. The procedure is probably going to be done by a foreign doctor and someone that's coming into this country on a visa. Student visa is a popular thing. We're going to look at certain countries, and including Britain, because Britain has many Pakistanis, and Pakistanis have been involved in terrorism. Okay. So it's a very complex web, but you're going to have to find a doctor that's willing to do the implants, obviously. And probability is it's going to come from a Middle Eastern country somewhere where that's going to occur, one of the state sponsors of terrorism, perhaps Iran, Sudan, Yemen, where they have medical doctors that are willing to do that. Remember, the leader now of Al-Qaeda is a medical doctor, mm-hmm. Al-Zawahiri. So we had attacks in Scotland by doctors and medical students and nurses a couple of years back at the airport. So it's not unknown that educated people are associated with jihad and would be willing to do this procedure.
And final question for you, Lieutenant. What should everyday average citizens do? What should we be on the lookout for?
Well, ever since we've had the attacks of 9/11, the Bush administration, the Obama administration, the Department of Homeland Security has always encouraged the public that you are the eyes and ears. You're the front line. You see anything untoward that's unusual, then immediately notify the authorities. Or, of course, we've had many cases where passengers on airplanes have taken issues into their own hands and tackled people. The underwear bomber, Alu yeah. Muttalib, when he tried to set off the bomb on his underwear, we had concerned passengers that assisted in taking him down. We've had many cases where concerned passengers have stood up and physically used violence, lawful violence, to stop these people. So if you see anything untoward, you see a suitcase, we in Times Square, one individual saw a car that was smoking and called authorities.
Right, right.
Keep your ears and open and your eyes open.
Okay. And can we find you online somewhere, Lieutenant Attica?
You can Google our Center for Terrorism Law. Just Google Center for Terrorism Law, and our website will come up and show you all the many things that we're doing with the government, other countries, the FBI, to assist in these legal issues.
Wonderful. Well, we thank you so much for your time and for the information that you've passed along today.
My pleasure.
It's 12:14 at Connect FM.